Two main passages of Scripture today as we continue our study on prayer, Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 11. I hope that you have a Bible or a Bible app with you. If you don't have a Bible app, I'd encourage you to go wherever you get your apps and download YouVersion. That's probably one of the best. It's free, and then you can download also free all kinds of different translations and versions of the Bible. It's an excellent app that came out of a ministry of Life Church in Oklahoma, and what a gift they gave to all of us with YouVersion. It's the little, it's usually got a thing that says Holy Bible on it, and it's brown. I just encourage you, if you're going to need a Bible app, to do that. Anyway, Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 11. I say that because I would like for you to be able to follow along as I read these passages, because it will be helpful to you in understanding what we're talking about today. I will say right up front that the truth of today's lesson is the part about prayer that is hardest for me to understand and hardest for me to explain. I told you week one of this series back in January that as you study prayer, you will run into things that to our human brain are contradictions. But they are not contradictions to God. With God, it's both. And I told you I was just going to keep saying there are no contradictions to God. There are no contradictions to God. Because I know that the Bible says, why do you keep on asking? Because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. But then I also know there's Luke chapter 18 and Luke chapter 11 that teaches us about persisting in our praying. And again, it's the hardest aspect of prayer for me to understand, therefore the hardest for me to try to teach on. In my humanity, I wanted to skip this week, but it's like this is too an important part of prayer. And I have an idea that there will be people watching, maybe people in this room, who you're just about ready to give up praying about something. And I need to come by today and just say, no, don't give up. Don't quit praying. An overarching text would be what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. You have it memorized probably and don't even know it. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open. For the one who asks will receive, the one who seeks will find, the one who knocks it'll be open. Now there's a couple of things about those verses. One is there's an increase of intensity. Somebody said this is like the picture of a child going through the house looking for mom. At first you walk in the door and say, mom, mom, and you're asking. And then you start systematically making your way through the house seeking her. And then you see the closed door and you hear her back there and you start to knock. That's kind of the picture of these verses. But there's something also important grammatically in these verses. So we're going to Greek grammar class here for 45 seconds. In the English language, tenses of verbs, you remember verb tenses, tell the time the action happened. Past, present, future. That's not the case in the Greek language. The reason that's important is because the New Testament was written originally in the Greek language. In the Greek language, tenses tell the kind of action. There is a Greek tense that means it happened once. There's a Greek tense that means it happened once, but it has lingering repercussions. And there is a Greek tense, the present tense, that means keep on doing it. That's the tense that Jesus uses here. So you could literally translate this, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Persistence in prayer. Which leads us to Luke 18. Starting with verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yeah. Jesus prefaces this story by saying, I want you to be motivated to pray. I don't want you ever to give up on prayer. And then he lays out what seems to me to be the options. You either pray or you give up. And you may remember I told you at the beginning of this series that this series grew out of a growing conviction last fall that what we were going to need as believers this year was to maintain a strong connection to God through prayer. If we're going to make it, we're in the same boat that the people were in Luke 18. He said, I want you to pray and not give up. And it seems to me those are the options for Christians. We're either going to keep praying, we're going to stay in connection with God, or we're just going to throw up our hands and quit. And so the purpose of this parable is so that we will keep praying and not give up. The reason you're here today or you're listening to this, whenever you're listening to it, is to be reminded, keep on praying, don't give up. It's a pretty simple story. Two main characters. There's a widow. Widows in the first century were about the poorest of the poor. They had no property because once their husband died, they had nothing. So she had no property, she had no investments, she had no stocks and bonds, she had no connections, she had no clout, she had nowhere to turn, she had no one to advocate on her behalf. The closest we maybe somebody that you see on the streets. Just no hope, no connection, no influence, no power, and she's being taken advantage of by a person that she calls an adversary. We don't know the situation. We don't really need to know the situation because the story is she's being taken advantage of, she's being harassed, and there's no one to help her. And so she realizes that her only recourse is to go to the judge and to plead her case. Maybe he can give her some protection, or he can speak to that adversary and have them leave her alone. Which leads us to the second character of the story, the judge. I hope it's never on my tombstone, you know, he didn't fear God and he didn't care about people. You know, that's not a good reputation to have, but that's the reputation this judge had. He didn't have any respect for God, he didn't have any respect for people. Therefore, he was free to just abuse the power of his courtroom, which apparently he did. She comes and throws herself on the mercy of the court. Please give me protection from this adversary. And he looks down at her and laughs at her and has her thrown out of the courtroom. Why is she wasting my time? But he is her only option. And so she keeps going back. Every day that he walks into his courtroom and sits down behind the bench, she's back there on the first row. Hi, Judge. When he gets back to the office, there's a stack of while you were out message pads from the lady. She's calling again. Finally, he says, she's going to pester me to death. Just fix it. Do whatever you have to do to fix it. I don't want to see her here again. And she gets her answer because she has learned persistence. Somebody said, there's power in pestering. It pays to pester. Well, we need to dig into this story because we've got to learn what it means to us. You know, Jesus told this story to encourage us to keep praying. So this is typically how this parable is interpreted. We're the widow. We are weak. We are powerless. We have no clout. We have no standing. We face these terrible challenges. We can't get help from anybody. And so we turn to God. And God's like the judge. Well, wait a minute. No, he can't be like the judge because the judge is an evil man. But he's kind of like the judge because he's busy. He's got other things going on. You know, he's got planets to keep in order. He's got harps to keep in tune. He's got all kinds of people asking for all kinds of things. But if I pester him enough, if I squeeze my eyes tight and wring my hands and say, oh, God, you know, if I get intense enough, I'll be able to wrench a blessing out of his closed hands because he doesn't want to give it to me. And sooner or later, he'll give up and I'll get my answer. Well, if that's the way you look at God, you're not going to pray. If that's the way you interpret this parable, you're not going to pray because that's not who God is. At the end of this story, in verses 7 and 8, Jesus blows that interpretation to smithereens. What he tells us is, this is not an allegory. This is a study in contrasts. Because the truth is, we are not like the widow. The widow was poor. Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. She was hopeless. Our hope is in the Lord, Psalm 39:7. She had no position with the judge. We have a favored position with God. Zechariah 2:8 says, we are the apple of his eye. We are his treasure. She had no connection to the judge. We have connection to God. What do we call him when we pray? Our Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says we call him Abba, Father. That word Abba is actually an Aramaic word, another language that was spoken in the first century. That was the most intimate, familiar term for your father. Whether if you called your father dad or pops or daddy or, you know, it was that level of intimacy. We have family connections to God. So Jesus says, no, you are not the widow. This is a study in contrasts. I heard a preacher tell a story about his father, who was an eccentric, wealthy, world-traveling businessman. And the pastor said, but my dad had a phone on his desk that was his private line. He only gave the number to a few of his business associates, but he also gave it to us kids. And he told us, call me anytime. I love to hear your voice. And the pastor said, my dad at that time had been dead for 15 years. I still have that phone number memorized. See, we have connection, family connection with God. He's not the judge that says, I'm not going to be interested in you unless you bug me to death. He is our loving heavenly Father. You have a direct line to him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If it matters to you, it matters to him. We are not like the widow in this story. We are his child. We have family connections. And God is not like the judge. He's totally unlike the judge. Psalm 34:8, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Aren't you thankful for that? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Isaiah 49, he says, I will not forget you. God is interested in your prayers and in you. Please hear that. God is interested in you. He's interested in what you care about. He's interested in the burdens you carry. He's interested in the challenges you face. He's interested in the decisions you have to make. He is interested in your prayers and in you. Somebody put it this way, you are not a bother to the Father. He invites us to pray. Philippians 4:6, bring your requests to God. Psalm 62:8, pour out your heart to Him. Well, then why do we have to keep persisting? Why do we have to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking? Well, again, let's go back to verse 1. Pray, don't lose heart, the King James says. Don't give up, don't get discouraged. Let's think about this. The importance of persistence. The prayers that you are praying consistently, maybe you've been praying for years. The answers to those prayers aren't automatic. See, if we're not careful, we think prayer is like a vending machine. You put the right change in and you hit the button and you get your answer. Prayer's not like that. Because many of the prayers that we pray involve changes that have to take place, either in us or in other people or in situations and circumstances. And God will not go against anybody's free will. God doesn't make you do something you don't want to do. And so as a result of that, persistent prayers are necessary because it takes time for those prayers to be answered. There's that famous story in the book of Daniel where Daniel prays for 21 days. And when he finally gets the answer, the angel who gave him the answer said, "Your prayer was answered day one. But on my way to deliver the answer, I ran into the enemy. And we had a war, and it lasted 3 weeks. And I'm just now getting to you. Because remember, we said, our Father who art in heaven, in the heavenlies, where the spiritual battles happen. Sometimes your prayer's been answered. The answer just hadn't gotten to you yet because there's spiritual battling going on. If your prayers involve somebody changing their attitude or their lifestyle or breaking free of an addiction or whatever it may be, that's going to take them making some decisions. And in most cases, it's going to involve them making major decisions that at this point they don't really want to make. And so you keep on praying and you keep on persisting because these things take time. It takes time for you to change. I mean, how long's God been working on you? How long you been working on your spouse? You know, it takes time for people to change. It takes time for circumstances to change. And so we keep on praying. Pray while you wait. That's why Jesus says, don't give up. Don't stop praying. The answer may take a while to get there. You pray while you wait. Don't give up. And he says that God will give justice quickly to those who fear him. Say, well, quickly, I've been praying for 10 years about this. Yeah, but a couple of things. First of all, remember, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And so what's quick to him is not quick to us. But also, think back on some of those prayers that you've prayed and then they were answered. Didn't it seem like the answer came out of the blue? You've been praying. And then suddenly, it seems like quickly, everything changed. Didn't happen quickly. It happened over all of those months and years of your praying. But the answer appears to come quickly. So David says in Psalm 55, I will call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Things are happening in the heavenly realm. Keep on praying. But then he throws in this verse that just seems totally from left field. Verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Or he said, you got to keep praying, you're going to give up. And I wonder when I get back there if anybody's going to be still praying, you know, or are you all giving up? And that led me to wonder if as we get closer to the end of time, it's going to get harder to keep praying and keep our focus on God. Which led me to Luke chapter 21, and I know you're not turned there, so you can just listen to this, but it's Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Jesus talking about the end of time. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Anybody experiencing some anxieties of life? And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Keep on praying. The way you stay alert in these chaotic times is keep on praying. Now, another story about persistence is in Luke chapter 11. This is the passage that we looked at it when we first started this series, because this is where the disciple comes to Jesus, Luke 11, and says, teach us to pray. And then this is what Jesus tells them. Now, remember now the three main sections of what we call the Lord's Prayer. God, you're great. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom over mine. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom over mine, your agenda over mine, your priorities over mine, your kingdom come, and here's what I need. Forgive us, give us, lead us not into temptation. And after he gives them a version of what we call the Lord's Prayer, then he tells them this story. And again, it's in response to, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, my children and I are in bed, I can't get up and get you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, that's a word that is often translated persistence. In the King James, it's translated boldness. Because of your persistence, he will get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, and he repeats, ask and it'll be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, to the one who knocks the door will be open. And then he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, will he give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, that is to say you're not morally perfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, when the disciple came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, he could have given any kind of a story. He gives this one. Again, why? The power of persistence. He's talking about prayer. And here's the picture. In those days, most houses were basically, at least on the ground floor, like one big room. It was used for everything. That's where they cooked. First century open concept. It's where they cooked. It's where they lived. And at nighttime, it's where they all slept. And they all had their mats on the floor. And in those days, families were rather large, and so it was kind of like doing a Tetris thing where you had to figure out, you know, who sleeps here and who sleeps there. If you've ever had a large family and you've tried to all sleep in one tent, you know, who's going to put your feet this way and put your head there? And so you've got this floor filled with sleeping family members. They finally are all down. They're finally all sleeping. And at midnight, somebody shows up banging on the door. Now, before we get too upset at the man who bangs on the door, notice, and I don't think I ever really, this never really hit me till I was working on this. The reason he comes to the door is not because he needs bread for himself. The reason he's at the door is because he had a friend drop in unannounced. And he doesn't have anything to feed him with. And so he's not coming on his own behalf. You know, it's, I'm asking for a friend. He's got somebody just popped in on him, and he needs to give them some food, which immediately reminded me of all of the plurals in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, forgive us. Give us our daily bread. And how we've talked, make sure that in your prayer, you pray for other people as well. He's asking for somebody else. And the husband of the household says, I'm in bed, the kids are in bed. You don't understand what it's going to take for me to get from where I am to where the door is, to open the door, and then to go get the bread and get back. I'm going to be stepping over kids. Everybody's going to wake up. I'm going to step on the dog's tail. Everybody in the house is going to be, I can't do this. Come back in the morning. Your friend isn't going to starve to death overnight. But the man keeps knocking. And Jesus said, the man's not going to give him bread because he's his friend. He's going to give him bread to keep him from continuing to knock because of his persistence, because of his boldness. Okay. Somebody's supposed to be me. Somebody's supposed to be God. That's the way Jesus' parables work. And we try to figure this out. Is the moral of this story that God's only going to answer my prayer if I bug him to death? No. Those of you who are parents, think back on when your children really wanted something. And they kept asking, and they kept asking, and they kept asking. And you finally, if you were able, and it was legitimate, you finally gave in to the request. Not because they bugged you to death, but because you loved them. And you were able to give them what they wanted, and it was appropriate, and so you gave them because of their persistence. It's like, if it means that much to you, I'll get it for you. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going over these notes, and I remembered a few years ago, they came out with a self-contained turntable record player. Now, I know for some of you, I'm going to have to try to explain some of this. In my day, they had vinyl records. In fact, the vinyl records that you're immediately thinking of is the 33 and a third. Oh, no. I knew 45s and 78s. That was the number of revolutions that the record made on the turntable for you so you could hear the song. Go look it up. But so I had this great vinyl collection, and most of what I collected were groups that streaming services never heard of them. And they were out of existence before CDs came about. And so there was no other way for me to listen to their music except those vinyl records. And they stopped making record players when all of the 8-tracks and cassettes and CDs came out. So you're stuck. If you didn't have an old one and you couldn't buy a needle for it, look it up. You couldn't listen to the music. The struggle was real, kids. And then all of a sudden, because everybody was getting retro, they brought back a turntable. It was self-contained, it had the speaker, it had the power, all you had to do was plug the cord into the electrical outlet, and you could listen to your vinyl records again. I wanted one of those. I hadn't heard some of my records in years. So I started to persistently bug Donna. This is what I want for Christmas. The first one I saw actually was at Penny's. And that's back when they would still mail you mailers in the mail. And they'd mail one and it was on sale. I would circle it, fold the circular, put it where she eats so she could see it. Every time we were at any store that had one, I'd say, this store has it? At some point she says, I know you want that. I let the kids know. Make sure mom knows this is what I want. And for months, I was asking for that turntable. And she got it for me. Not because I pestered her to death, well, maybe partly, but because she loves me. And she knew that's what I wanted, and she knew it would give me hours of joy as I could go to the closet and dig out my records and start to listen to some of this music I hadn't been able to listen to in a long time. And I thought, maybe that's part of the image of God in us. That God is not bothered by our persistence, He's moved by it. That your persistent prayer has the potential to move the heart of God. And I thought about that, and I told you to me, I still don't understand this. All I know is just what the Bible teaches. So you don't have to understand it, you just got to do it. Don't stop praying. That thing you've been praying about for a long time that keeps you up at night sometimes and wakes you up in the middle of the night sometimes and makes you sick to your stomach sometimes, that thing you're praying about, keep on praying. And it hit me yesterday that maybe one of the reasons for that is that it shows that we're serious about it. Now, God knows our heart, and again, this is one of those difficulties of trying to explain God's relationship to us with just trying to use our limited terms. But sometimes you ask for something that you really don't want that much. It's just kind of like a passing thing. And we had a situation in our family several years ago when one of the kids got another one, something that had been on their Amazon wish list. You know, what a great solution to Christmas gift buying, by the way. And when the guy opened the gift, he goes, huh. And he said, well, it's on your Amazon wish list. He goes, oh, yeah. So apparently that wasn't really at the top of the list. But there was some point in time where he said, oh, I think that'd be cool. So he put it on the wish list. And when he got it, he'd already forgotten he'd asked for it. You know, right? We've all had that experience, right? That your children ask you for something and ask you for something and ask you for something. All fall they're asking you. You get it for them for Christmas. They open it up and say, that's not what I wanted. But you've been asking for that for 4 months. Yeah, but 2 weeks ago they came out with this and that's the one I really want, you know. And it kind of hit me, and you can just take this for what it is, that maybe part of the reason we need to persist in our praying is that God, who knows, but it shows us, I'm serious about this, Lord. This is not a passing fancy. This is not the fruit of the month club. I'm serious about this, God. And I asked you about this 3 years ago, and I'm asking you about it today, and I'm going to ask you about it next week, and I'm going to ask you about it until either you just slam the door in my face and tell me no, or I get a positive answer. I'm not going to quit. He taught us these parables so that we would keep on praying and not give up. God is moved by persistent, consistent prayer. That's one of the key ingredients to a consistent prayer life. That doesn't mean that every single day you have to pray for that request, but I mean, there are things I pray about several times a week, every week, and have for a while, and will continue until the answer comes. You probably have some of those too. Situations where, again, a person has to be changed, or you have to be changed, or a situation has to be changed. You know, sometimes God's going to answer your prayer, but the situation's not right yet. There was a time in our lives when it was like there was a restlessness, and we talked about it, Donna and I, we just feel restless. Like, I think God's getting ready for us to move. And so I started sending out resumes and following up things. Nothing for a year. And then I got a call. Think about maybe coming down to visit this church in Augusta. Maybe you could be our pastor. Do you know what happened during that year that we were restless? That church was coming into existence. They didn't even know they needed a pastor because they weren't organized yet. So see, sometimes we're praying and the answer is getting ready to come, but the situation's not right yet. You're praying about a new job. That job's not even been on the org chart yet. It hasn't even been created yet. God has it for you, but it's not ready yet. Or maybe you're not ready yet. So keep on praying while you're waiting. Donna tells the story of her dad becoming a Christian. Her mom became a Christian first. Her dad was not a Christian, and her mom started praying for her dad. Lord, we're having a revival at our church this week. Help him to agree to come to church. And he came, sat on the back row. Each day, her mom continued to pray. And each night of the revival, he moved one row closer to the front until one night he was on the front row and gave his life to Christ. Persistent praying. See, sometimes during this process, God does something in us. Sometimes when we're praying about that situation, God is saying, okay, but a key part of that situation being resolved is you getting rid of this lousy attitude, or you going and ask forgiveness, or you doing this, or you doing that. And sometimes God needs to work on us before he can work on the situation. Be open to let God do something in you before he can do something in them. Because, I mean, it's true, we're human. God, it's all them. Get them straight, Lord. Get them straight. He says, let me work on getting you straight. So sometimes during that persistence, God is doing a work in us. But sometimes during the persistent praying, we begin to realize that we're praying for the wrong thing. Have you ever been praying for something and all of a sudden you had this thought, no, that's not how I'm supposed to be praying. What I need to be doing is praying this way. But what happens is as we're focusing our attention in that persistent prayer, God is able to guide us and tweak our praying. No, you really shouldn't be praying about that. What you should be praying is this. You're praying that they'll get that job. What you really need to be praying is that they'll find favor with the boss they have now, you know, or whatever. But as you persistently, see, that's one of the advantages of persistence. Hit and run prayers, you don't get those kind of insights. But as you persistently, over time, keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, God does a work in you, and he is able to correct your praying to where you're praying according to his will. Because when you pray, God does something. Every time you pray, God does something. You won't see it immediately. Again, it's our Father in heaven, in the spiritual realm. We won't always see it. But every time you pray, God is doing something. Your persistence is not bugging God. Your persistence is honoring God. Because your persistence is saying, God, I can't do this. Only you can. God, I'm not even sure I know how to articulate a prayer about this. But you know the situation, and you know what I'm trying to say. You know what my prayer is. You know what my heart is. That's honoring to God. God, I'm dependent on you. And this is too big for me. It's too complicated for me. I'm going to keep asking, and I'm going to keep seeking, and I'm going to keep knocking. And that honors him. Let me say to you again, you're not a bother to the Father. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on praying. Don't give up. That's really the bottom line. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes I pray, Lord, here I am again, and yes, I'm going to ask about this yet again. because it matters. I'm concerned about it. I can't do anything about it. Only you can. So I come again on Monday, and I come again on Tuesday, and I come again on Wednesday, asking you, God, intervene. Do what only you can do. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and I'm not going to give up. Get discouraged? Sure. But I'm not going to quit. Not going to give up. I'm going to keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't quit praying. That's the lesson from these stories. Don't quit praying. So, Lord, for whoever it might be that's just about on the verge of saying, okay, I'm done praying about this. God doesn't seem to care. Help us to realize that you're doing something. You're up to something. We won't always see it. In fact, much of the time we won't see it, because so much of the answers to our prayers are being answered in the heavenly realm first before they can be answered in the earthly realm. And so maybe our persistence helps in that battle. But whatever it is, Lord, you've told us to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. So may we leave today with a fresh resolution. I'm going to keep on praying. While I'm waiting, I'm going to be praying. Because only God can answer this. And I need him to do it. So, Father, increase our resolve to keep on praying. We don't want to give up. We don't want to quit. We don't want to quit praying for our nation, Lord. We don't want to give up on our nation. We don't want to give up on this world. We don't want to give up on the people we're praying for. We want to keep on praying. So, Lord, help us to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking while we wait for the answer to come quickly in your time. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today.